Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm here with Moss, which appears Thursday night in concert at 7:30 p.m. at the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Tickets are available at the door or through the Miller Auditorium box office. Hosting Moss in town is our professor of vocal jazz at Western Michigan University, Greg Jaspers. And I'd like to start with you, Greg, and have you maybe introduce this group of friends as an ensemble and their significance in vocal jazz, please.
Okay, well, that'll be a three-hour broadcast. no, it's awesome to be here, and this group, I think, five amazing people. I say it's five of the most significant voices in jazz today, and two of them are also members of the New York Voices, but really, this whole thing came to be because this group decided to put another project together, and Peter Eldridge, our artist in residence here, reached out and said, "We're looking for a space and, you know, in some just a span of time, could we come to Western and work there?" And I'm like, yes, you could. And if you want to perform and share your music with us, then we can also pay you to work here. So we're delighted that this year Moss is the 2017 Western Michigan University Jazz Masters artist. So instead of having one household name in jazz, we have five household names, and they're here together to create and bring some of their music back to life, and then create some new music too. So we have Kate McGarry, who is here a couple years ago as our guest artist with the Gold Company Vocal Jazz Invitational. Peter Eldridge, who's our artist in residence and comes here regularly. Joe Lowry, have you been to Kalamazoo before, Joe?
Yeah, I've been for the Gilmore Festival with Fred Hirsch.
Right. That's what it was.
Yeah. So she's back in town, and Joe is also the newest member of Moss. So, and then we have Lauren Kinnan, who's been here several times with the New York Voices, mm-hmm. and here now as a member of Moss as well, and then Theo Bleckman, who was actually just here maybe 18 months ago with Ben Maunder doing a presentation. So,
okay. Well, it is certainly a super group and a super day for me. I'm really glad you're here. So I can probably help move things along because, Peter, you've been here before and told the story of Moss before.
Mm. So I want to hear the story.
Well, we're talking. I was thinking of taking it off your hands a little bit.
Yes.
Because this all started partly because you're on faculty at the University of Manhattan or the Manhattan School of Music. Yeah.
At the time, yes.
Then you started making these connections of people already established solo careers, and yet there was a spark when you guys hung out. You ended up meeting, Luciana Souza was mm-hmm. one, and then on some commuter train ride,
some fateful late night train trip. We just ran into each other and we just started talking about, you know, remember the great old days of college when you'd get together with people and you'd have the time and the you know, life allowed you to create and you know, step outside your comfort zone and try different kinds of music. And she was like, wouldn't it be really cool to do something like that again as you know, grown-ups, quote unquote. And so we started talking about who we'd love to work with, and it all kind of evolved from there. Yeah.
And you somehow captured this magic on an album that has since become sort of classic, even though it's only, you know, it was 2008 or something.
It seems to be an album that really resonated with people with resignation, I say that, but to this day, I you know, people always come up and go, God, that album just changed me, or you know, so
well, to the point where people are on Amazon writing angry comments about why you have been withholding.
Oh, really? Is that right?
Wow.
How could you not make a second album?
Wow. Wow. Well, that's cool. I guess that's good. We're being trolled, but in a positive way, I guess.
Well,
so.
I just sense this person's frustration. Why can't they get it together to go back in the studio?
We have to get it together.
Well,
we'll provide an address for them to send a check, and we'll be on our way.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you're all very busy people, and I kind of hope to touch on each of your kind of other motivating projects too. But why don't we unify you all with a sound, with the selection from the album, which was simply called Moss.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, or as we like to say in Michigan, Moss.
I like that better. But, yes.
Which tune should we start with?
Object of Ocean, perhaps.
Well, Theo, why don't you tell us a little intro on
Object of Ocean, written by Luciana, Kate, Lauren, and Peter. Yeah. Okay, well, that's good to know. Finally,
we're still discovering things about each other.
It was a collaborative process. So Kate had the music and the arrangement, and I wrote the lyric for it, and Peter came up with this brilliant interlude. And so again, it was sort of a perfect little sandwich, if you will, of like one of the collaborative items that came out of like our first couple of sessions together, where everybody was like, I'll do this, I'll do that. And so it's a nice maybe snapshot of what at least some of the members collectively did, and then of course what we eventually still tinkered with as all five of us for the final product. But yeah, it was really exciting.
Object of Ocean, the name of this tune, and we'll be back with Theo, Lauren, Joe, Peter, and Kate of Moss right after this.
Tangled and torn out of my hands, bones intertwined, holding me there. Find your own stair out of my house, round or square. It ain't about us, it ain't about all the little things. Knows not where all the little things we forgot to
terrific cut from the album Moss, and five members of Moss are here in the studio at WMUK, along with the professor of vocal jazz studies here at Western Michigan University, Greg Jaspers. These are friends and colleagues of yours, also people you admire, and this is something I got after listening to the full album, is this idea of being supportive. There's you're all helping each other. I didn't hear one vocal jazz battle on the album.
wait till the second album.
Vocal
jazz battle.
If you're all, you know, in your own fields, really top notch, you kind of expect this sort of trading off, a stand aside while I give my solo kind
my
of
turn.
Thing. That didn't happen. This is such a unified album, a unified sound, and yet everyone kind of has long segments of their own personal singing. Really, really quite unique. You guys did a great thing. What are you going to do on Thursday night when you perform at 7:30 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall?
Sweat bullets.
Yeah, no, we're equal parts really excited and a scooge nervous, because it has been 8 years since this collective came together. But I think we're definitely more excited. And we got together last night at Greg's and started the rehearsal process, just like, oh yeah, this stuff, you know. And it was really fun. So, but it'll be a few songs from the original Moss album, and then trying to come up with some new things too. And we're also featuring a lot of the groups and ensembles from Western, Gold Company, the arranging ensemble, the Western Michigan, the faculty quartet, and you know, so it's going to be a cast of thousands.
Yeah, so you've drawn in quite a lot of talent from the school too. You could pretty much do anything.
Yeah.
Maybe you should sing the Three Penny Opera or something.
I think
one of the
things with Moss is that we tend to work more like a rock band. We bring stuff to the table, maybe some drafts, and then we all potchkey around in it and get our dirty paws on the music ourselves, which is different from somebody writing a piece, sending it to everybody, and then we all learn the part, and then we, you know, show up knowing that part. So I think that makes this group a little bit different, not only in the process, but also in the results, because everybody has something invested in each piece.
Mm-hmm. Theo, yeah. Could I learn a little more mm-hmm. about what you bring to Moss, your background? And
great confusion. I come from contemporary jazz and contemporary classical music, and I work with living composers working in extended techniques as well. So I'm trying to throw curveballs and different ideas into the mix of vocal jazz here as much as I feel is authentic to myself, to my own writing. So, and that's fun in everybody's game, and it make it sound better than I could in my little, you know, mind, in my little head.
Some artists you've worked with include, was it Meredith Monk?
Mm-hmm.
Laurie Anderson?
Yes.
Experimental, perhaps.
Yeah, experimental, improvisatory, and also highly through-composed. Some of the music that, or a lot of the music I'm doing is strictly composed, with a non-classical voice in mind, with a voice that can improvise and can extend sounds beyond regular singing. So that's sort of where my niche seems to be.
Any recent projects that you've been excited about that we should hear about?
I just released my own CD of my own writing on ECM, which is it's called Elegy, and has a lot of wordless singing on it, but some lyric writing that was fostered also in this group, you know, just to go out on a limb and write whatever you feel, you know, is your most personal voice. And since I'm working with electronic looping and electronic live effects, I have these great singers to, you know, try stuff out with that I don't need my effects for. So I can just have, you know, Lauren, Joe, Peter, and Kate be an extension of what I would normally do with my own effects, which is fantastic. Sounds way better than what I could come up with anyway.
That is an exciting profile to have, or, you know, the work that you have accomplished since you began as an artist took you in some really unusual places.
Yes.
That's an enviable position to be in, I think, to kind of sink back into comfortable harmonizing and singing, and then also be out there trying something no one's ever done before once in a while.
Well, the way this group started really is by getting together and eating first, which is exactly what we did at Greg's house yesterday. I walked in and there was this incredible smell of chicken. It really is based on a community and on sharing of ideas, and really that being the first most important element here. And now, especially now that everybody's running around with their phones glued to their face, it's even more important to have time together and be together. And since we're all living in different places, except Joe and I are in New York, but we don't see each other very often. So this is a great opportunity to spend time together and then make music together in that order.
Well, Lauren, I'd like to get to know you a little bit better, too. And just in case someone you've just tuned in, I'm talking to the members of the vocal supergroup Moss, which appears Thursday at 7:30 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. And joining them will be the Western Jazz Quartet, University Jazz Orchestra, Gold Company, and the Advanced Jazz Ensemble. So it should be just a magnificent show. Lauren, where do your roots begin?
I was raised in Phoenix and Portland predominantly. So for me, music was always in the household, and we always would attend my father's big band combos and all that type of stuff that he did for fun. But we took a lot of pride in the idea that he was doing that, and we had concerts to go to as a family. So that, I guess, the family journey in attending music concerts was very early instilled in me. And I guess the sense of jazz was just that music was just in the household. So it was very consonant, normal sound to me. I listened to a lot of music, though, growing up. I mean, singer-songwriters like Joni Mitchell and Carole King and Stevie Wonder, as well as jazz. And so those two worlds always converged for me, and they still do. And then I grew up in the ballet studio. So classical music isn't so much a cerebral experience for me, but a physical one. So that lives in me bodily. And so the way that those three worlds collide is usually through original music. And a composition is kind of one of my lovers, you know, and it still is. You know, it really is the thing that excites me about music. And so I've got, four solo records. And the latest one, though, is a diversion for me of going back to my roots and doing a tribute to Nancy Wilson, who was one of the the great jazz singers. The Cannonball Nancy Wilson record was a favorite. So, you know, also going home, my life, circling back to some of my roots is what I'm sort of doing these days. But the idea of this group was thrilling to me because it's a different script of writing for the voice, the vocal canon. And that interests me because I don't feel particularly precious about necessarily music in general. I really like to venture off beyond the boundaries too. Like, I think like all of us do, we're very expressive and curious. And so when this opportunity came together to work with people that I really admire, and they're all kind of their own person, that when you were talking about, well, doesn't seem like there's any ego, any sort of jockeying for first place. And I think it's because everybody's really formed already. And that's the beauty of perhaps being grown-ups mm-hmm. in a group versus when you're in college and you're like, you really are jockeying to figure out who are you, and which is what the kids are doing here and is exciting. And we'll sip from that cup when we watch them this week. But what was beautiful about getting together as Moss is we're sort of formed, but we're still looking to be curious. And it's sort of a different sort of headspace that comes with that. And mm-hmm. so we all kind of really want everybody to do their thing. And we also want to support them in their exploration of doing something they never do normally. We love it when someone raises their hand, like when Theo says, well, I remember that. You should write the lyrics, Peter or Lauren or whatever, who normally do it. And we're like, no, actually, you should write some lyrics. Right. So it's just that kind of the gentle nudge. So I think we still like to think that that's possible for us. So I think maybe that's also what makes this group sort of sweet and innovative, is because we're trying to do a little bit of all those things to make sure we keep pushing boundaries and keep writing something that excites us.
I want to ask, did you happen to see the season opening of Saturday Night Live on Saturday?
I didn't see it, but yeah.
Saving Jazz?
That's what I want to bring up. So,
that's so good.
The host, Ryan Gosling, opens up his monologue by taking credit for Saving Jazz.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's great.
That's a joke, obviously.
In the film
La La Land. Land. Sure. Oh, gosh.
But, hey, I have the option of talking to five jazz vocalists, people who have intersected with jazz in so many different ways. And what's going on? Did we lose it? Did it die? Is it coming back? And who has jazz? Who can save jazz?
Oh, my goodness.
That's a question that Joe Laurie will answer for sure.
Well, great.
Yes.
I've been waiting for somebody to ask me because I've had a plan for saving jazz and nobody asked.
Since the late 90s.
I don't know. I think that, like anything, jazz has to evolve to survive. And I think that Moss has been a really, really, really significant part. I can say this because I come to this as a Moss
member.
Fan as opposed to an original member. I have wore out the album and I have the t-shirt. And literally, I have the t-shirt. And, so it's really exciting to be part of just starting to be part of this group. But I will say that from the outside, when this album came out in 2008, we were already, we've already been talking for a long time about, is jazz dying? Is vocal jazz dying? And
Sure. And
Moss was an album that just shouted from the mountaintops a resounding, no, it is not dying. This is somewhere that it can go. So I think that this group is really, really, really special. It's very exciting to be a part of it. And I think that, So for me, when I think about what is jazz, I think jazz is a process more than a sound. For me, it's an approach. It's a way of doing things as opposed to a sound. And so I think that the way that this group behaves is kind of in the jazziest way possible. And because of the ingredients that we each bring as people and the what we've listened to growing up, which has certainly not been all jazz, the sounds that come out aren't necessarily ones that you traditionally associate with jazz, but the process in which they're created is a jazz process. And that's why it still has something, it still has that je ne sais quoi that makes something jazz, but at the same time moves it forward.
I should tell listeners that Joe Laurie is a native of Australia.
Yes.
And has also been associated with Fred Hirsch. As you mentioned, came to the Gilmore a few seasons ago for that, and also worked on Sting's musical, something about ships, right?
Yeah, The Last Ship.
The Last Ship, which was a Broadway production. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working with Sting for the last 7 years, and there's another great example of somebody who is able to bring jazz into a modern arena.
Yeah, I remember when
with Kenny
Dream
Kirkland
of the Blue Turtles came out. Yeah.
And in Branford Marsalis. I mean, yeah. I think he introduced a lot of people who were not jazz listeners to elements of jazz. Yeah. And, I think that's really exciting. Some, obviously there are purists for whom that is not appealing, but that's okay.
That's okay.
It takes all kinds. Yeah, I think that, if you're looking at, we do a lot of original material, but a lot of the music that these members and now me, hopefully, bring to the table, other than original music, is songs that we love that might come from the jazz canon, but it might come from Crosby, Stills and Nash, or it might come from Fleetwood Mac, or it might come from Sting. The repertoire, and that's nothing, brand new in jazz, of course, but at the same time, we are... we're bringing a music, what we bring to this musically is not nostalgia necessarily for us, but it's part of our musical DNA. And it's a very real expression of who we are as opposed to a jazz history lesson.
Mm. Let's hear an example again from the album Moss. And I think we have a song called Longing queued up.
Must haul all hung upon me.
From the album Moss, we heard the song Longing, which was a composition of Theo Bleckman, who's a member of Moss, and he's here today along with Lauren Kinnon, and Joe Laurie, Peter Eldridge, and Kate McGarry, all performing on Thursday night. Tickets are available now through the Miller Auditorium box office or at the door. Show begins at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall Thursday night, and the whole school is excited about this show. Coming together with Moss will be the Western Jazz Quartet, University Jazz Orchestra, Gold Company, and the Advanced Jazz Ensemble. And I guess we are somewhat guaranteed a flexible show filled with all kinds of things. The ensembles are here to kind of create the show in the matter of a span of days, and of course bring back some of these incredible songs from the album. I would like to spend a little time talking to you, Kate McGarry. You grew up in an Irish-American family, I think, and also bridge into the folk worlds.
Yes.
With your singing.
Yes, that's accurate. You've got it.
Okay. And I need you to take it away from there a little bit, a little more detail.
Sure. I grew up on Cape Cod and had, a large Irish family. We weren't from Ireland. We just really, we just liked and felt connected to our roots. And my parents used to bring us to this wonderful Irish pub and where we would hear the music and come home and sing it, and we singing was kind of for us a way of reconnecting as a unit, where chaos usually would reign in a house of 12 people, when wow. singing happened, it would sort of like calm things down, and you could really feel that that's where you things misunderstandings could heal, where you could just feel your place and feel your connection. Mm-hmm. And so that has been, for me, the edict that goes forward for me when I make music is, do I feel connected to myself and to the people that I'm singing with and to the people listening? So that it's about community and about feeling love together. And so that's, I guess, what comes first. And then the kinds of music that get chosen for me come from the music that I was exposed to. My father used to listen to the Mills Brothers and Nat King Cole. And my mom was actually a classical pianist before she had her 10 kids. So sometimes she would play and, she'd put on Ravel or something and actually stomp around to it when she was mad. Whatever. whatever she would be listening to. But, and then my brothers and sisters, the older ones, were bringing home Cat Stevens and James Taylor and all those people. And so that was very much a part of what, and the Beatles and things like that. So the popular music of the 70s was really my home as well. And then I found that when I was in high school, I started playing piano and my teacher gave me Bill Evans and Tony Bennett record and Keith Jarrett and things like that. And I started to feel this big world where all the feelings that I have that could be find expression, there was room in it. And also it connected me. I was always felt really connected to African American music and the rhythm and the solidity and the weight of that music. And so I just had an affinity for it and started listening and going in that direction. And so there's always been those two camps for me of the folk influence, but just then the connection to the African-American music.
Yeah. When did you break away from all your siblings and family and just start the thing that that was just for you, that was your...
Oh, that's such a nice...
I mean, I would think in a crowd like that, you do need to have finally find something that's all yours.
That was what this was. I remember specifically, like, you know, when the Walkmans came out and I'd have my headphones, I'd just be walking down the street listening to, actually, one of my real seminal albums was Al Jarreau's Live in Europe. I don't know if anybody knows that, that record, but with his wild improvisations and all the sounds that he was making, and I would just feel that and be singing along with him and thinking, like, anything is possible here, and so much emotion is possible. And it was very separate. Nobody else in my family knew that was, I was having those experiences and connecting in that way, so it did feel, you know, sort of private and like my own thing.
How did you end up performing?
I from the time I was really little, this was all I ever really did. Even though I'm sort of more introverted, I'm not like a big stage hammy person, but performing, even from, I don't know, my mom said I was singing Hello Dolly like at 15 months, you know, just, which is really weird, but, you know, Hello Dolly, like she said, Tiger up, put it, like she, even if I couldn't pronounce the words. And I, you know, I think that's just all I've ever felt like I could do, even though I've had a lot of other jobs, but singing was the only thing I ever really professionally felt like, yeah, this is about it.
So I mentioned the first thing I noticed about that I wanted to mention about Moss and listening to the album. One was how supportive it felt to hear the arrangements and how you created this music. You hear it on the record. And the other thing I was going to mention is that I was expecting perfect singing, like this straight and where it almost sounded like an organ or an instrument. But no, people sing kind of nakedly on this record. You sing really well, but it's not like you're trying to find that perfect vibrato or like perfect straight tone.
That's what I think it does set this group apart as a vocal group that does improvise, that does sing, you know, jazz as well as other musics, is that it's not about unifying the vowels or doing the kinds of things that do make jazz ensembles sound really amazing. And I mean, when I hear Gold Company, I just melt, because that music and the way that they sing it is incredible. And this is a very different thing, because it's about retaining the individuality, and that shows up in the vowels. It shows up in the timbre, and those are celebrated instead of tried to be, you know, washed out.
Thank you. Well, finally, I think, Peter, I'm going to give you a few minutes here just to pick a song so that we can hear yet another. And you can bluster all the way through your deciding process.
No, there was already a vote, so we're on this.
Oh, well done.
Hey, silent vote.
Also, this is your chance to add anything to this idea of jazz discussion and or... the idea of imperfect voices
Well, first of all, I mean, I think I love coming here to this school. Greg asked me to kind of join him as when he joined the ranks here, and I had just gotten a full time teaching position at Berkeley, so it's kind of like. But Greg asked first, and I do whatever Greg tells me to do. I was like, wow, this is going to be a lot. But I just, you know, love the students here. I love getting to spend time with Greg, and there's just such a high quality of things happening at the school. And so it's hard to give that up, as crazy as life is. And I can't wait to see the students here. But it's really, we're just really grateful to Greg for the opportunity of putting this together and giving us this platform to come together again and, you know, go remember what the energy of this group is and hopefully, you know, prepare for some future performances, recordings, you know, whatever. So, yeah.
This is the Peter Eldridge expressing gratitude, listeners. So if you're not in your seats on Thursday night, you're going to be sorry on Friday. 7:30 p.m. Thursday night, Dalton Center Recital Hall. What are we going to listen to now?
This is a wordless piece called These Things Take Time. Kate and I put this together initially, but then we all kind of threw arranging ideas into the mix, and it all came out in this, I don't know, kind of, it's somewhat cinematic, this song, to me. It gets pretty grand, and I see a lot of cell phones going up in the air and swinging back and forth towards the end, so yeah.
Once again, we heard a selection from the album Moss, which was released years ago, 2008, mm-hmm. and we're still waiting on the second album. But from everything we've heard this hour, putting this album together was a magical moment of coming out of friendship and full bellies. Mm-hmm. If you're well fed and you're with friends, you might create an amazing album. Theo Bleckman, Lauren Kinnan, Joe Laurie, Peter Eldridge, and Kate McGarry have all joined us this hour, along with Greg Jaspers, to preview their Thursday concert at 7:30 p.m. And the hour has flown by, so I think I'll just do a little round of final thoughts, and I'll go to my right with a final word from Kate.
We can't wait to see the concert, and we can't wait to work with these wonderful students and faculty on the music here.
All right, Peter.
I think it also would be nice to say the album was produced by Ben Whitman, who I think was a real integral part of the whole process, and really, I think, formed the cosmic oral palette of, you know, the sound of the album. I always like to throw, and the band, you know, great players, and, you know, so I think it's also important to kind of throw that out and into the universe as well.
And Joe?
Well, we mentioned her earlier, but I just want to acknowledge the amazing Luciana Souza, whose incredible shoes I'm going to be trying to fill this week, but Lou is a great friend of all of us, and yeah, it's so exciting to be joining this friendship group, but we miss her.
Yeah, we do, and we welcome Joe open-heartedly. She's a divine artist and
songwriter.
Yeah. So she fits right into the fold, and I guess the sentiment that we all sort of feel collectively is do the art that pleases you, and make your own heart sing, and perhaps that's what can transcend out of vinyl or digital, you know, media to touch people. And we're so touched that this music on this group means so much to young and our elder statesmen as well, who are teaching this art form. And we're so grateful that everybody seems to hold this precious. So we'll try to continue in that honor.
What Lauren said and everybody else, I think this is a testimony to community in a time where we're all just, you know, separated and more focused on our own individual careers or whatever that means in jazz, and to come together and create something that you actually enjoy yourself. You're not doing it to, you know, have a better place in some kind of business idea of music or something, but this is something that we do for each other and, of course, for the listener. And that's really what this group is about.
And Greg, why don't you finish our discussion here with a few words on the concert?
Thank you. Yeah, it's. I just am reflecting on how lucky I am to be sitting here with my dearest friends and musicians that I just admire, and being able to introduce them or reintroduce them to our students here. This, you've heard this hour, such a spirit of collaboration, of musical respect and graciousness towards each other. And that's exactly the kind of thing we want our students to experience, to develop themselves. And so I think this is going to be a magical intersection of jazz and music and humanity, honestly. So we hope you'll join us on Thursday night for the culmination of all of that.
Any sneak peeks at Gold Company activities beyond Thursday?
Well, yeah, this is also the kickoff of Gold Company's 40th year, which you know, it's this beautiful tradition and this program that Steve Zegarie built. I had a very karmic moment last night as I was in the kitchen doing some work on dinner, and they were in the living room gathered around Steve Zegarie's childhood piano. And working on the music for the concert, and it just was, yeah, it's a lot of serendipity and karma there. But so yeah, this year is a big celebration. We've got Moss kicking us off, and I think that that's really exciting because it does help us look forward, you know, into what is the future and what's the future for our students. Hopefully, we've got an alumni gathering for our Miller show that's not in Miller this year, and it will be in Dalton. And we've got a trip to California for the Monterey Jazz Festival. And then we're going to end the year with our Gold Company Vocal Jazz Festival, where the New York Voices will be the headliners.
It was really
Wait, you're
so
in the
I'm sorry,
New
who?
York Voices.
Yeah. No, so it's really important to, you know, to bookend this, to have a group that your students can really, you know, see themselves in the future in, and then a group that's just been, you know, so prolific and formulative to this genre, but also especially to this program at Western. So
Steve Zegarie gave us our first concert. Was at Western in 1989. So we were on the Motorhome Tour, which was affectionately known as the Odorhome Tour, and it was the first night of the tour, and it was here. So there's a lot of connections
of here.
Yep. To this place. Yeah.
The news is marching upon us here.
Yes.
We've got about a minute and a half at this point. So of all the tracks, which has the best first 90 seconds?
How about Neil Young's Old Man?
Very
a little bit of that.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining me at WMUK. Folks, the concert is Thursday at 7:30 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Tickets at the door or go through the Miller Auditorium box office, milleraudatorium.com. Thanks again.
Thank you, Kara.
Thank you. Old man, look at my life. I'm a lot like